From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick with you. John Osier coming up. Plenty to get to today. Our special guest, Demetrius McCray, is in studio. Of course, training camp is right around the corner, just over 2 weeks away from the Jaguars going on the field for a training camp 2015. And we'll get into some dead zone news as the weeks tick away heading into training camp. You can get in on the show at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jaguars as well. We welcome in our special guest today, Jaguars cornerback Demetrius McCray. It's great to see you.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And what's your social also? What's your Twitter?
What do you McCray DC.
McCray DC.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty active on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You like it?
Oh, yeah. I love Twitter.
All right, I know you love it, so we're going to get to some social questions coming up a little bit later. We were talking about this before the show. I mean, it's year three for you now. It's almost hard to believe that it goes really quick. Do you feel like a third year player now?
You know, it's been coming quick. You know, seemed like just yesterday I just walked in the building. You know, for a rookie minicamp, but it's been real good to be here for 3 years already.
Tell me about the difference. Last year, I know you were confident coming in because you had the year under your belt, and you knew, I think you had gotten to the point where you knew you could play in this league. Mm-hmm. But now you've got extensive experience under your belt and had some success last year. Where is your head now going into camp compared to where it was last year?
Just keep pushing, you know, just keep pushing. Just try to be better than I was last year, and I think I'm heading in that direction.
What will fans see if that happens? Where will you be better?
There in the interception column. Gotcha. You know, that's my main thing for this year.
How do you make that? I mean, some of that's opportunity. Mm-hmm. But as a defensive back, what do you do to try to control that? Some of that is just getting pressure up front, so you got to kind of hang Sendarek out to dry a little bit. But, mm-hmm. I mean, how do you control that as a defensive backfield?
You know, just trusting your instincts, you know, watching a lot of film and studying your opponent. And studying the opposite, the opponent's quarterback, you know, and just trusting what you see and just believing what you see.
Is that something as a whole defensive back group you guys have to improve this year, the interception total? And is that a point of emphasis for everybody this year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what we want to excel in that category this year. You know, our first 2 years, our interception column wasn't that high, but this year we're looking to change that.
You're most likely going to start this year. Do you feel like that is the case? And take us through that road to get to that point.
You know, my mindset is I'm never a starter. You know, okay. I gotta work to start every day. You know, that's my mindset coming in. When I came in as a seventh round pick, and that's always going to be my mindset.
And that's going to stay with you. That, mm-hmm. that stays with you every day, the seventh round thing.
Every day.
You ask some guys, even undrafted guys on the roster, and they don't really think about it anymore. Year three, year four, or whatever, it's just they're in the league now. But that seventh round thing motivates you, right?
Yeah, that's going to motivate me until the end of my career, you know.
So you're not going to wear like 32 like Maurice Jones-Drew did. All 32 teams passed on me, so that was his jersey number. Not quite that deep, but there's something to that. I mean, and what – what about that drives you? Why?
It's just that I knew I could play in this league, and I just know I wasn't supposed to be a seventh rounder, you know. But I was happy with my situation. You know, I'm happy where I landed. I'm happy that I'm seventh round pick. It just motivates me to work even harder, you know. Just to work even harder, you know.
Now JP has given you the starting job. Mm-hmm. I sort of believe you'll start too, but the competition at this position with Devon coming in, with Aaron Colvin, with Gratz, it might be the deepest competition, the most talented position on the roster in terms of your spot. How is that competition going? How do you guys get along? And what is that room like, I guess?
We gel together real good. You know, we all get along. We know it's competition, but we always got each other's back. You know, we want to see each other succeed in everything that we do. So, and we're still a tight bunch, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's our group. Yeah.
Give me one thing on Devon House that you've learned from him, that you've seen from him. I think fans of this team know Colvin and Gratz, maybe not so much about House.
You know, he's a real smart player. He's going to take his chances, and that's something we need too. He's going to take his chances, and he make good choices mm-hmm. when he sees what he knows. And so that's just one of the things that I learned from him is just trusting what you see. And just when I see something, he always tells me to go for it. You know,
is that a conversation that happens in the film room off season? You guys are watching something, and you say, okay, right here is where I'd have gone for it.
I mean, yeah. That goes along with the film room. You know, the more studying that we do together, the more that he'll give me some more pointers and stuff like that.
How much is special teams part of your game? Special teams. How much is that part of your game?
You know, I love special teams. You know, that's just another way for me to show my talents. You know, when I'm out there, I don't take anything for granted. You know, that helped me a lot, just being out there in special teams too.
Because that's a way a lot of guys get on the field for the first time. Can't crack the lineup another way. I was talking to Leroy Reynolds a few weeks ago about this, and he wants to be the best special teams player in the league, but he could contribute as a linebacker too. But the balance of the cornerback position and the special teams duties. How mm-hmm. do you balance those two duties?
You just have to clear your mind and know, oh, I'm a gunner this play, and just focus on the gunner and know your rules as a gunner. And then when you're out there on defense, you have to let the gunner stuff on the back of your mind, and then you got to focus on the corner stuff and focus on the game plan. So, you know.
What are you doing right now? I mean, I know there's about 5 weeks between the end of the off season and training camp, mm-hmm. and you're trying to stay ready because you got to be ready for the heat.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you doing right now? How do you pace yourself to be ready for camp?
So I train four times a week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
And it's JP.
Yeah, that's why I look like this, yes.
And I train in the heat, you know, I train in the Jacksonville heat. Well, I was in Miami for a couple weeks, but I'm back in Jacksonville right now training so I can get used to the heat, you know, get used to the humidity, and that'll help me once camp roll along.
Is that even possible, though? I mean, at some point in August, you're going to be out there. We're even struggling on the sidelines.
Well, it's never possible, right. But it just helps you. It just helps you just to get your mind like, oh, I'm getting ready for this heat, you know.
We were talking before the show again, and you spent some time as a youngster in Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
You think the heat there would work out, too? No? I mean, that'd be tough because they're going to play the World Cup over there in a few years, right?
Oh, yeah, that was some intense heat over there. You know, that was something I don't want to go back to, you know.
A little different than Miami mm-hmm. and Jacksonville. Hey, your favorite time. Let's go to social media questions mm-hmm. now. These are from Instagram. Are you an Instagram guy, too?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. I love Instagram.
All the above now. Mm-hmm. Okay, Twitter, Instagram. These are Instagram questions from Mayad Bill.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about starting and maybe getting that opportunity to start? I gave you the job. John does not ready to give you the job yet, apparently, it sounds like.
I think he's going to start, babe.
Okay.
I think camp's going to be interesting.
Okay, well, we talked about this a moment ago, but the possibility of starting mm-hmm. at the outside corner spot this year, after all the work you've put in, what would that be like?
That would be a big blessing, you know. But it also just motivate me to keep going, you know, keep going, because every day is not promised, you know.
Like you said earlier, you're not a starter yet, is mm-hmm. what you said. Brooks Schwalbe 4 asking, who's the most underrated player on the team?
Most underrated player.
Maybe a guy we might not talk about a lot. He may not be in the media or in social media a lot, but can step out.
You know who I think? I have to say Jeremy Harris. You know, I watch him every day, and we came in together, and I think he's going to contribute to us a lot this year.
He's a guy that was banged up his first year, right? Mm-hmm. And has just found a way to hang around and get better and better, right? And mm-hmm. how has he gotten better over the last year or so?
Oh, man. This offseason been big for him, you know. I've been watching him grow since we got here. You know, we basically growing up together. So, but I've been watching him, and he's been big, you know.
And he's one of these guys that makes plays in practice, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Gus was talking about that late in the offseason. It seems like every day he's making a play.
Yeah. He's been doing real big in OTAs and minicamp.
EV183 asking, what game are you looking forward to the most next season? Does one game on the schedule stand out for you?
It have to be the Atlanta Falcons game. You know, I went to high school in Atlanta, so I'm still hearing some of my high school friends, they talking about the matchup there, so you know.
So did you go to Falcons games in, I guess, in your high school?
No, never been to a Falcons game.
Wow. All right. So going back to your hometown then. I.E. Derek asking, what have you done to better yourself on or off the field to help improve the defense as a whole? What have you done to help overall defensively?
I've been studying a lot, you know, trying to make myself a student of the game, you know, trying to better my IQ of football and whole, you know. That's what I've been doing.
Because it's not just about the corner spot. It's about how it fits in the whole 11, mm-hmm. right, on defense.
Yeah, and I have to know where my hope is and what all 10 other guys are doing, so you know.
Khalil Pearson, what player inspired you most to play the cornerback position?
That'd have to be Deion Sanders. You know, that's the easy one. Deion Sanders. You know, a lot of corners look up to Deion, you know. And that's what
there's an entire generation of Deion.
Yeah, there are. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are you as fast as Deion was?
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, really?
He was pretty fast, though.
He was pretty fast. You know? All right.
It's bold.
That's very bold, Demetrius. Last question. Owen America Bont's asking, how do you feel about Pop-Tarts before a game? I don't know what that means. It was on the list. I don't know.
Pop-Tarts.
What's your pregame meal, I guess, is a better way to ask.
I usually eat breakfast, you know, some grits, eggs, and bacon. But I also have sweets, too. So it's funny that he said Pop-Tarts. I don't eat Pop-Tarts, but I eat a lot of candy. So I eat that before the game, too. You know?
Is that on the program? I don't know. Candy on the program?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're putting that upstairs.
I didn't see that on the training table.
You would probably not.
Oh, I know. But, I mean, trust me. We appreciate you coming in today mm-hmm. on a day off. And good luck to you the rest of the way. 2 weeks. Get ready. It's about to get hot.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you being here.
Demetrius McCray joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. You can see him at training camp in a couple weeks. The Jaguars will have 10 practices open to the public starting Friday, July 31st. That includes a Monday, August 3rd practice at Mandarin High School under the lights and the scrimmage at Everbank Saturday, August 5th. Fans must register for free tickets, jaguars.com/training camp events, and do that right now because it is coming quick. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, our thanks to Demetrius McCray for joining us today on Jaguars.com Live. I tell you what, that is a tight room right now, that defensive yep. back room. A lot of guys who have some experience now in that room, House, the free agent coming in. Colvin is healthy and ready to roll after a strong finish last year. McCray, another guy. I mean, you got Grotz still around, who's been around. So it's a deep room all of a sudden.
Well, Ann and I will get to some thoughts on some other things that Demetrius said. I've been as guilty of it as anybody. Every time I write about the cornerback position, I write about Grotz and Colvin and McCray and House. And Gus Bradley late in OTAs, and Demetrius just now talked about Jeremy Harris as a guy. Hasn't been on the field a whole lot, but everything you heard in OTAs and everything that you saw that we couldn't really report, but you saw him making plays. He gets his hands on the ball. He has a tendency to break up passes. If he's coming along and making that year three, all of a sudden I get it jump, it's already deep, and it's already maybe the most competitive young position on this team in terms of having a bunch of frontline guys with experience who could maybe make an impact. All of a sudden, you're really good there, which I think they're really good anyway at that spot.
Let's play GM head coach right now.
Absolutely.
You're starting outside corners and nickel guy.
I actually just answered this question in the Ozone. Teaser alert. I think at the start of the season, my guess is it's Demetrius McCray and Devon House. It sounded in OTAs like they're trying to figure out the best way to use Aaron Colvin. And it might be a situation where he plays some early down and distance situations on the outside, moves in the inside. He's too good right now and coming on too fast to not figure out a way to get him on the field. So I think that's going to be a very fascinating mix. And it's an exciting mix for this team because now for the first time in a while, you're talking about a group where guys are earning their way onto the field past other guys who are in there onto the field. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of young guys where they draft a guy and say, you know, we got to get this guy out there. And that's significant. And it's starting to happen at some other spots, but it really could be the case at corner. I don't want to put these guys in the Pro Bowl yet, but year one, year two, year three guys, Devon House a little older, you're hearing about young guys who may be continuing to ascend and sort of starting to battle each other out. That's sort of the carbon cut or the, that's the master plan of Gus Bradley. That's near and dear to his competition philosophy. So you might be seeing that play out there this year.
The corners are helped, of course, by strong play up front, a good pass rush, but strong play in the back end, too. Mm-hmm. The free safety position has kind of been up in the air here the last year or so, a year or two. And that'll be a question moving forward of who's going to play center field out there.
Yeah, and realistically, that's going to still be a question going into camp. It's very easy to write stories in the offseason when they sign players. Sergio Brown looks like the starter going in. James Sample, with his arm, is going to be out for a couple of weeks. And the storylines that I'm going to write are that Sergio Brown's a leader going in. He's there. But that's a position. We saw it last year with the center position with Mike Brewster. We all wrote that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, very early on, you get out on the field and things start happening.
Things change quick.
Free safety could be a situation where that happens. Sergio Brown could nail it down. But they've got a couple of guys that they like, and they want to see what happens with that spot. So it's certainly an area to watch. And if that spot can improve, if that spot can get better and help Jonathan Cyprin, then they can both help the cornerbacks. It can all sort of come together. I think they'll get better. It'll be interesting to see how that position gets better.
John, let's look around the National Football League. Some dead zone news as only a couple of weeks away from training camp opening here in Jacksonville. I guess the biggest news this week in the league is the Dez Bryant issue in Dallas, and actually, for that matter, Demaryius Thomas in Denver, too, both with the same issue. And I think it's got to come down at some point today if it's going to come down, right?
Well, there's so much going on, and it's not something that we have inside information about here on Jaguars.com, obviously, because it's away from our market. But I'm always one to say, first of all, the deal where he's saying he's going to hold out or that he's not going to play.
Dez Bryant. I'm talking about, yeah.
I have a very tough time believing a guy leaves money on the table early in the season because it's usually money you don't get back. But if he's bluffing, whatever, I'd be surprised if that gets done today because it sounds like they're very far apart and it sounds like the Cowboys are going to, you know, call his bluff, if you will. The collusion story that's out there as well. Did Denver and Dallas talk about this contract? Who knows? Sounds like if they don't sign today, it'll be investigated going forward. That'll be very interesting because it's not something that we've seen a whole lot. I think it's very hard to prove, so I'd be surprised if very much comes to it. But I'm always surprised when a player of the level of Thomas, of Bryant, of Justin Houston is the other guy who's a franchise. Typically, when you're franchise guys, I think all three of those guys are clear franchise type guys. Teams try to re-sign those guys because they don't come along very often. Look at this franchise, for example. Would love trying to develop those level of players. No matter how many you got, they still come along rarely. So I think they all wind up signing with their team eventually. Just hard for a GM to let his guy go.
And Dez can say whatever he wants on Twitter. He swear on his kids that he's not going to play and all this stuff. But I'm with you. It's $750,000 a week that he's going to leave on the table. That's hard to do.
And the reality in the NFL, as fans and observers, we all sort of see a mass NFL. So we see a bunch of NFL players who all make a lot of money. For that particular player, there is always, by definition in this game, a short career span that always can get shorter because of injury. You never know. But to leave that kind of money on the table, there's not a back end when they're 40 years old to go make the money that they lost that week, no matter what they signed for.
That's
so that's sort of the theory why you very rarely see guys actually give up a game check because, you know, I don't know about you. I wouldn't mind having $750,000. I got a kid going to college in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so if Dez doesn't want it, he can call me.
That's right. We'll split it. How's
that's
that?
Right. Well,
Okay,
baby. I'm not into the split thing.
Another story that's kind of come out the last couple of days around the league is the idea of a developmental league for the National Football League. Bill Polian saying that there's a crying need for a developmental league. What do you make of that? Is there a crying need?
I haven't thought about it a whole lot, but I have gotten a couple questions this offseason about it. There was a time where my quick answer was, that's what college football is. And I think for a long time that was true. But I also think lately, with the advent of spread offenses in college, you hear more and more coaches and then players as they age up and sort of look back on where they were when they came into the league. You hear more and more that it's tough to adapt from the way college football is played now to the way the NFL game is played now. So is there some sort of mechanism for that? Is there some sort of need for that? Maybe. At the same time, as soon as I say that, I don't know that that would address some of the issues, you know, if a young, highly drafted player is having trouble adapting. I don't know that a team would be that willing to go play him in a minor league with the investment they've already made. So it's not a slam dunk no-brainer that sort of a league would have that big of a benefit, and it's expensive.
It costs a lot of money,
yeah,
too.
So and it's more expensive with this sport because of equipment, because of the number of players to try to do that, than it is in another sport.
Insurance, injuries, the whole thing come into play there as well. And the best news of this dead zone is pretty much all quiet on the Jaguars front so far, knock on wood.
That's always a good thing.
It always
There's very
is.
Few great headlines this time of year.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. Well done, John.
Interesting about Demetrius McCray, a young guy who's been here for a few years. I think fans who saw him talk today can get that same kind of sense from a lot of these young players, that there's a feeling that they're sort of at that point where they're ready. There's an energy in their voice and there's an optimism. Who knows how it plays out on the field, but you see a lot of him and a lot of the other guys in the locker room. It's going to be a neat season to watch.
Our thanks to Demetrius McCray. Thank you, John. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.